Let's take a look at Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So Jesus has called us to be witnesses of what our eyes have seen, what our ears have heard, and what we have experienced. We spent the last 6 weeks, excluding Easter, going back 6 weeks from Easter, we spent time looking at an acrostic, which was spelling out the word Christ. You can see that on the screen here. We talked about compassion, that sharing our faith starts with the compassion of Jesus, his compassion for those who are harassed, for those who are helpless. And the question is, do we see what Jesus sees in the people around us? And will we respond to help them the way that Jesus responded to help them? We talked about humility. We said that the gospel starts with humility as Jesus leaves the throne room of heaven and comes down here in the body of a human being. He took up residence here in our neighborhood, if you will, and he gave himself up for us. This means that we must share our faith in a way that is consistent with the gospel, and that is a humble way, realizing that we were once lost in our sin. We treat others with the gentleness with which Jesus treated us when he died for us while we were yet sinners. We talked about being ready, that we need to be ready to share the reason for the hope that we have, and we need to make the most of every opportunity that we have to share the gospel. We talked about integrity, that if we have no intention of living holy lives, then we have no basis on which to share Jesus with others. And though we may not be perfect, our witness still demands that we have integrity, that we strive to live holy lives, that we admit when we are not living holy lives and we turn back to God, that we are honest with unbelievers about our own weaknesses and our struggles. We talked about the role of the Spirit in witnessing, that the Holy Spirit lives inside of each one of us, and that the Holy Spirit leads us to the truth and leads us to share Jesus with others. The Spirit also draws unbelievers to Jesus. If the Spirit does not draw them, then they cannot respond to Jesus. So we pray for the Spirit to draw people to Jesus. And we rely on the Spirit to tell us when it is time to speak and what we should speak. And then we looked at truth. Without the truth of who Jesus is and what he has done, there is no way to the Father. Jesus is the truth. When we share the truth, we are essentially sharing a person. We are asking someone to trust Jesus just like we are trusting in Jesus. We are inviting them to come along with us on this ride of faith. Psalm 107 in verse 2 says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story, those he has redeemed from the hand of the foe." Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story, those he redeemed from the hand of the foe. Now, for some of us, we live part of our lives and we had great pain and great struggle, and God has redeemed that pain in our struggle. And so we have a story to tell. And for others of us, maybe we grew up in a Christian home and there wasn't as much pain and there wasn't as much struggle and there wasn't as much sinning. But think about it. God kept you from that. And so you have a story to tell as well. So we're going to share the highlights of our story with one another today for those who are willing to share. I'm going to ask you to keep it to 3 to 5 minutes so we can hear from at least 6 to maybe 8 or 9 people today. Our testimonies that we place on our website are some of the most listened to MP3s that we put up. People want to hear these stories. People from outside the church want to hear them. People from inside the church want to hear them. So I just want to let you know that we will be posting these. So, who wants to kick us off? Who wants to be first?
Vinny called mine the diaper conversion, so we'll see from there. Well, I want to start with saying that when you look at our children, and they hear the gospel, and you won't know where it goes. It started out with my baby brother when he wasn't a baby. He was 16 or so when he went to YMCA camp, and he brought the gospel into our family, and we were all saved after that. But let me start the story. I grew up in a church. We went every Sunday. We sang hymns. We heard the Bible, all of those things. But I never knew that there was such a thing as a personal relationship with Christ. I never had heard that. It's just kind of how you live your life. We're all going to be good people, and this is how life goes. So Charlie and I got married. We always went to church. We even went to church when we were married. We went to church, but never really heard the gospel. Then my brother went off to camp. He heard the gospel at camp, and he brought it home, and that young man who shared the gospel with my brother came back to kind of disciple my brother, and my mother and my father and my sister and my brother were all saved. My dad went, we say he had a midlife crisis and took us with him. He decided that what was the reason of living and life, really? So at 40, he took us all to Greece to go back to where the philosophers came from. Maybe he'd find the meaning of life there. He did not. My mother read Mary Baker Eddy and studied Christian Science. She didn't find the answers. But when this man shared with my brother, my family found the answers. Then one day, God had been working in my life for a long time, all the way through, and Charlie and I would talk about things, and we were so close to knowing the gospel, but really never had anybody kick us over the edge to figure out what it really meant. So one day I was in the house, and I had a baby, and my mom was talking to me, and she said, if you died today and went to heaven, what reason would you give for being able to go into heaven? And I knew I had no reason. There was no goodness in myself to say, oh, because I did this. There's nothing. And she said, you know the reason is Jesus. He did it all for you. Well, with that, as Ted told Vinny, I went upstairs, changed a diaper, and prayed to the Lord right then and said, God, I believed in you. I believed in your son Christ and what he's done for me for a very long time. But I've never told you, and I've never acknowledged your place in my life. Now, I want to say that since then, life has not been easy. There's been lots of different things that have gone on, and I've got tons of stories that I could tell about how God has worked in our life. But this is how I came to know Jesus.
The diaper conversion. Who's next? Back in the back.
Hi. My story began when I was 17, and I went up to New Hampshire on a motorcycle weekend, and there was a group that had decided to do an outreach and share the gospel. And when they came and they told me about it, I said, you know, I'm Jewish. I really don't need this. I'm not your target audience. But I did listen to what they had to say. I spent several days listening. And over a couple of weeks, the Spirit spoke to me and said, this is something for you. And so I began a process of learning who Jesus was and what my role was in worshiping God. It was an amazing journey. And of course, I began to reach out to people, largely because I appreciated what the people had done that stopped me that day and shared the gospel with me. So I tried to do the same thing with other people, and I got to tell you, over the years, and there's been a lot of years, it's been a lot of rejection, in a sense, that most people that I've talked to have not turned around and said, wow, God is for me. But there have been a number that have, and I've been able to be a part with other people in seeing lives get changed and people come to faith. And so I don't focus on the people that laugh at me or reject the things that I have to say. I very much celebrate with God in what happens in the people's lives that do listen. And I do understand that they are called. It is not my amazing words or my talent. Matter of fact, more often than not, I become an obstacle for God rather than an assistance. But nonetheless, it has been an amazing time all these years. Every opportunity that I have, I try to remember to share the same good news that was given to me. And it has been an amazing deal.
Good news, the gospel. Who else has good news for us?
Hi, my name is Katie, and I had the great privilege of being called to a personal relationship with Christ at the age of 8. My Sunday school teacher gave us a letter from Jesus that she had found in the newspaper, and it was basically Jesus talking about wanting to have a personal relationship with us. And it was like this little letter, and I just remember, you know, you went off to school and you didn't pay attention to me or spend time with me, and my tears were in the rain. And I remember thinking, I don't want Jesus to be sad. Like, I want Jesus, I want to have a relationship with Jesus, and I don't want him to be sad. And so that was sort of the very beginning. And my dad bought me a Living Bible, which I devoured. I just loved it, and I had all these little notes that I wrote in the back. I wanted to be a preacher, and I had sermon notes, you know, in the back. And I loved that Bible, because I could really understand it compared to the one that the church had given us, which was the NIV, which I didn't understand very well. So as I grew up, I loved to spend time with Jesus every day, because I didn't want his tears to be in the rain. And I remember going through high school, and you know, my friends that would go through hard times, I always had a word for them, because I just filled my mind with the Bible and with God's word to us. And I would talk with people, and I always had God's word for them because I had filled my mind with that. And I try to tell my kids now, you have, when you're a child, you have so much time on your hands. You should really spend that time in the word of God, because it will never leave you. And so, So I think that's the beginning.
Thank you.
Good morning. So I'm new. I'm a newcomer here, and I'm going to try to focus my thoughts. So, like Barbara, I grew up in a church, a Catholic church, and I was very blessed and fortunate. My parents were integral to the church. But we, we did our catechism and our prayers, and it was very impersonal. And for various reasons, I went away from the church, and I came back. Actually, it was my brother who was the furthest away from the church, who came back to found a church. He was spiritually dead. And he was looking. He found a church in Florida, and then in Texas, and he was so overflowing with it. He started to talk to me about it, and how he's reading the Bible. And it was, at first I didn't really know how to take it, and then it just kind of caught on. And We did our prayers again. It was never a very personal relationship, and so one day I had a very difficult week in my life at the end of December, and as I got through that week, and I prayed very hard to get through that week, I ended up here, and I was terrified to walk through those doors and to drive into this driveway, and the people were just so amazing, and. So I'm working on this new personal relationship. And so what I forgot is talking to my brother, he said to me once, you know, we're supposed to be talking to God. We're supposed to have a personal relationship with Jesus. And we were just never taught that way. We said the rosary, we prayed to Mary, we prayed to the saints, but Jesus, and it was like, you're not supposed to talk to him. And so I'm working on this, my personal relationship. It's been amazing. It's been an amazing experience for me in this church. And I thank everybody, and I thank God for me being here.
If you've ever prayed for the people who are going to walk in here on a Sunday and how they're going to experience it. You were praying for him. Thank you, Patrick.
So I grew up in the church. I've lived in a very loving family, large family. And my mother didn't know the Lord, and my father grew up in a different denomination, and we just started going to a very conservative church that had great children's programming. And I was raised in that. That's how I learned about God, through Wednesday night programming for kids, through a youth group, just a solid, not a large youth group, probably about 12, but just a solid youth group that was connected and surrounded with a lot of good mentors that knew the Lord. And then as my faith developed, I went to teen camp, and my life was changed at teen camp. There was a missionary that wrote a book that I still have on my shelf that's called Don't Send Me to Africa. And he went to Africa. He listened to God's call. And it changed my life, like just how he wanted to do things his own way. And even though I was growing up in the church, I still wanted to do things my own way. And once I heard him speak, I connected with him because I knew that I couldn't do it my own way to have a relationship with God, that I really had to stop living my life the way I wanted to live it, but live it the way that God wanted to live it, wanted me to live it. And at that point, that was the part of my life where I started giving back, and I knew that my life needed to have Jesus and needed to teach people about Jesus and show them and guide them and plant these seeds. And so from there, I was changed. I think I was like 15 or 16, but that, if you know me, that's why I'm so passionate about children's ministry, because so many people invested in me, and it changed me for the rest of my life.
This is not easy. and as I was just listening to the rest of you, the thought that came to my mind is, if you don't stand up and witness when you're nervous, when you're not really feeling like it, if you can't do this, how are you going to share the word with someone else at work, among our friends, someone out on the street? We all need to have that strength. That strength does not come from ourselves. And I don't even know what I'm going to be saying right now, but I guess what I can start with is that I became a Christian when I was 33 years old. I'm 66 now, so half of my life was spent in the world, and the other half of my life so far I've been spending in church and in a good place, because from here we go to a better place. At 33, I remember what got me to a point where I had to make some kind of a decision, and that was that I felt like I was on top of a cliff, and I had to make some kind of decision. Even though I was happy, I had a wife and children, what have you, the responsibilities of the world were just overwhelming. Sense of depression, sense of not having it all together. You just know that there's something more than this, whatever that may be in your lives. My parents were Russian Orthodox. They went to church all the time. Christmas and Easter. That was pretty much my upbringing, but my mother did fear God, and she always told us, you know, if you do anything wrong, you can look to your left and to your right, but remember, somebody's looking at you all the time, so she, you know, the fear of God was instilled in me. So, you know, standing there at the age of 33, having to make some kind of a decision, I came to a point, not with a lot of details, but getting on my knees one night and say, God, if you're real, just reveal yourself to me. Mary, if you're real, or Saint Joseph, if you're real, somebody reveal yourselves to me. And I'm not really having a good grasp on what it was all about. But it's interesting how a series of events just happen. And wouldn't you know that a neighbor would have to come over the next day or so, Maria, who lived across the street. And basically, you know, the series of events was, why don't you come to church? He said, nah, I've been to church. It's the church that we're going to right now. We're not getting anything out of it. No, this church is different. So I came and I walked in, and this church was very different, actually scary for me. People walking around with Bibles, and it's like, oof, what am I going in for? And then bumping into Jim, do you know the Lord? Oh, yeah, I know him, yeah. Yeah, God, yeah, my mother told me all about God, but I didn't have that personal relationship. And I have to say that it wasn't, you know, at the age of 33, the next day becoming a Christian. It was a walk. A walk in the right direction, again, standing on that pinnacle. I didn't want to go back to what I was. I wanted better. And that's where I made the decision. Even though church is scary, the words that they're saying are scary, the word sin is scary because I had been used to being a sinner all my life, doing the wrong things. It's like, nah, I have to make a choice here, one way or the other. I don't want to go back to before 33. I will move forward, whatever that forward is. I'll just place it in the hands of God. And gradually, I did that. And I was saved possibly two or three times. Not quite sure of which time was the real one. But, you know, scripture passages that stuck to my mind as he who began the good work in you will continue it to completion. And the other one that was really strong, and I remember even asking some of the elders here when I used to come to church, where's that scripture verse, John 14:6? I wasn't quite sure. I am the way, the truth, and the light, and no one comes to the Father but by me. That was scary and yet very inviting to me. It was that type of decision that I had to make, you know, which way do I go? And those words were always very, very comforting. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. That led me to that personal relationship with the Lord. I'm still walking it, not perfectly. I stumble, I trip, I fall, and God is always there. There's always someone that comes at the right timing, like Maria came by, and Jim came by, and, you know, we're surrounded by God's people. And, you know, just place your trust in the Lord, and He will provide, and you'll see amazing things going on just at the right moment. These seemingly coincidences happen, but I know better. They're not coincidences.
Is there one more person would like to share?
Good morning, everyone. My name is Stacy Jenkins. I'm really, really new to the church. I'm originally from Tennessee, and I moved up here, moved up to Michigan. Not Michigan, Lord. I've been in Michigan, too, but Massachusetts about a year and 4 months ago for school, for graduate school, and now I'm working as well. Just to share my story, when I was 5 years old, my father became a minister, so I have been raised in the church since I was 5 years old. And we would go to Bible camp definitely every Sunday. Whenever the doors were open, we were there. And then plus during the summer, always went to Bible camp. So even though at that time, I might not have known really what relationship was, what that meant, but I would always learn Bible verses. And we would have songs to create. We create songs to remember the Bible verses or do like a Bible verse competition, and I have trophies and everything, so I knew a lot about Bible verses. Well, make a long story short, when I was around 13 to 14, me and my father were driving, and the verse John 3:16, I've heard it long many times, I know it like the back of my hand, but he We were driving. He was driving, and he stopped, and he said, repeat after me. He asked me the question, do I know the God? And I'm like, well, of course. You instilled it in me every day, all day long. But he's like, no, do you have a relationship with him? And still, as he asking me that question at 13, 14, I understood it but didn't quite sink in. But I knew at that moment that I did accept Jesus as my personal Savior. Well, I'm 40 years old now, and I have had the opportunity to live in more places than not, Japan, South Korea, traveling throughout the United States, different places. And I am very blessed to say that because of those Bible verses that was instilled in me, when I couldn't find a church, that's what kept me going, those Bible verses. And knowing that at that age of 13, no, I didn't quite understand, but when I did move to Japan after I graduated from college, that first year was a year of understanding a lot of things, not just about the word, but about me and how it relates to my life or how God will use me. And though I didn't have church, I couldn't find a church at that time, it was literally those verses that has kept me and has kept me today. And when I am struggling, those are the verses, that I've learned over the years continue to roll in my head, and I repeat them day in and day out. And I think someone said earlier that, yes, I think it was the pastor, New England is a hard place. It's a hard, I'm going to keep it at that. It's a very hard place to be in, to live in, to try to be a part of if you're not originally from here. But I'm very grateful that I just happened to look online. I'm like, I need the word. I need to be around people that not only know the Lord, but if nothing else, just believers. And if I needed to talk, or if I needed to just share the word, have the word shared to me, then I know that I can be blessed and be challenged. And if nothing else, be loved regardless. And one day I looked up, Googled, and I'm like, well, okay, I'll try this out. I started driving, I'm like, whoo, where am I going? Because I'm still very new to the Framingham area as well. But I came to church, and the first time I came, what is your name again? Vinny was very friendly. Patricia was very friendly. And I was like, okay, yeah, I like this in the songs. I love to sing. If you haven't heard me yet, I'm sorry, but you probably will hear me, so I warn you now. But I'm very grateful that I have found this church, because I'm at a time in my life where it's rocky, and I know that it's rocky, and I know that it's rocky because I haven't been around the word like I should. And those verses have helped me, but I need more. So thank you for allowing me to be here.
All right. Good morning, everyone. I think most of the people here know me, but if you don't, my name is Nan Nguyen. I've been here maybe a little bit close to 2 years. Well, my whole story is I was raised as a Buddhist growing up, and my mom always told me, you know, as long as you live as a good person, you'll be able to go to heaven and see Buddha. So I was kind of like jaded and blinded in that type of path growing up. And that didn't prevent me from stealing, lying, getting tattoos, a Buddha, a dragon, living a life that you think you're doing the right thing for yourself. You're just going down not the right path. And my background is my father, he was an alcoholic, and he was very, very abusive in every way. Not just to me, but to my sisters and my mom. And, you know, growing up as a child, I asked myself, if Buddha is real, why would he let this person do this to me? Day after day, night after night, living in fear, sleeping, not being able to be happy. And it was different. you know, and I prayed to this Buddha night and day, just praying, saying, you know, don't let him come into my room tonight. But things still happen, you know, and I just didn't understand why, if he was such a good God, things would happen, you know, and I just really never was introduced to our true God, our Savior, Jesus. There's more to my story, but I'll keep everything short. I think my testimony is still online, but I think God, like, really has a plan for everyone, because we just moved into the house on Edgewood Drive, and we're blessed enough to have great neighbors, and my neighbor Dan Mealy came over one night to teach me how to play guitar, because I wanted to serenade my wife at a wedding. And he shared to me a really unique dream that God has given him. And I opened up to him. I told him, you know, it's weird because, you know, growing up, I saw this light figure next to me all the time. And whenever I saw this figure, I just felt so safe, so loved, so secured. And he was like, that could have been God, Jesus, or angel, or the Holy Spirit. I'm like, no way, God, like in my mind, I'm like, this guy's talking to God? I don't know God, I know Buddha, you know? And that night, he asked me one thing. He's like, you know, do me a favor, whenever on your own time, go outside and just pray to God and ask him if it was him. To say, hey, was that you who was there to comfort me, to give me the security? And that night, I went outside, I'm like, okay, this is kind of stupid. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to pray to this God. And I have four dogs. So typically I take them out and let them run around, roam around. So I looked up into the sky and I kind of, you know, was trying to fold my hand. I'm like, I don't know how to pray to this God, but I'll do it how I usually do it to Buddha. And I looked up and I was like, hey, God, I don't know if I'm doing this right. I don't know what I'm doing. I feel really stupid right now. But was that you? Was that you, that light figure who comforted me and pulled me through this whole scenario of my life growing up and just gave me the will to live, you know? And then all of a sudden, I looked down. I have one of my dogs was sitting there, and he was barking at me. I'm like, what are you doing, Chocolate? Stop barking at me. He just sat there, and he barked at me like it's a sign. And I'm like, okay, this is so weird right now. So then I'm like, okay, God, I'm not trying to test you, but I have to make sure this is real. Like, give me another sign. Do something for me that proves to me that was you, and it wasn't Buddha. And then as I said that, my whole body was just like energized. Like this energy that I can never explain. It was just from head to toe. And it wasn't just energy, it was that feeling I had when I was a child. So right when that hit me, I knew that was my confirmation. And right at that moment, I looked at him and I said, from this day forward, I'm going to devote my life to you. To you, God, Jesus, whichever form that you were, my life is yours now. This Buddha does not exist. And since that day, I've been coming to Crossroads, and God has been blessing me and my family, and my sister started to walk with Jesus as well, and my brother-in-law and my wife, and it's just like that video showed, it's the seed. It's always been planted in us. We just don't know, and we have to be nurtured by the word, by our testimony from others, and that will help us grow, and that will help us become the fruit. So...
I think on the web, if you want to hear the extended version, I think it's January 2015, if you want to hear that. The word regeneration came up as you were talking about that energy. When we become saved, we're regenerated, regened. Who's next?
Hi, I'm Eddie, for some don't know ya, or don't know me, rather. You might have met me last year. I was dead for a couple days, and after that, it kind of made me a little more serious in my walk with God. My life has been one of total chaos probably since I was about, maybe 10, 11, 12, somewhere around there. Good parents, they tried, can't blame them. I was just a handful, really hyper, still am, very, self-willed. He's been busting me a long, long time, other than me breaking myself up. Many incarcerations, many different states, many drug issues, many of these issues, many of that issues. And every time, each incarceration, except for one, when my mom passed away, I didn't care about living or anything then, and I just said to heck with everything, was going to get out and use. That was probably one of the times I just didn't care too much. But other than that, every other time was always picking up the Bible. Hi, it's me again. Got to know him a little bit. You know, I was born and raised a Catholic. And that God at that time, you know, just wasn't the God I came to know. And I thank God for the incarcerations and through the hell that I went through. Because had I not done that, I probably would have just been going on my way and never known him. My parents planted seeds when I was younger. But even the church, Catholic church, and some pastors, priests tried, but you couldn't deal with me. I couldn't deal with me. God said, let him go for a while. I don't think he wanted to deal with me. He knew better. But, as I said, throughout each incarceration, and just each bit of trouble that I've been through, he's always been calling me. Many near-death experiences, literally, physically, and many spiritually. And I think the spiritual ones were worse because I just didn't give a darn about anything. Didn't care where I was walking, how I was walking, whom I was walking into, which direction I was walking. I didn't even know I was walking. I knew I was spiritually dead many times because I'd had to have substitute a drug or something just to get me up to want to get through that day, you know, or try to fake it through whatever I was trying to live at that point. I don't know. But once that got out of the way, you know, they say you need to get away for a while so you can get to know them. And I did. Thank God for that, because had I not done that, you know, being in bars behind them and every other thing that comes along with that type of lifestyle, I would have never got to know him. And each time he's been chipping away, each time I get a little closer, and a gentleman came to visit me last year. I got in a bad accident, for those of you that don't know, and I was put in a coma for 2 days, pretty much dead. Woke up third day, and what the gentleman before me was just saying about knowing when he's speaking to you, from the head, top of my head to the soles of my feet, I knew who was in me that day. And I've experienced heaven before, in my opinion. It's right here. It's just not here yet, but it's right here. That's the best way I can explain it. It's right here. It's just not here yet. It's kind of like when Jesus talks about marriage. The marriage, you're all legal and this, that, and everything. You just haven't made love to your wife yet. It's not here yet, but it's right here. And I've experienced heaven before quite a few times, and I thank God for the Holy Spirit on that, because it's real. It's so real. In the hospital at night, they were looking at me like I was crazy, and you're not going to be healed. You're going to be in that neck brace with the broken neck, back, and ribs. And people have heard the story a million times, but you're going to be in that for like 12 weeks. I said, no, a month. He said, 12 weeks. I said, no, a month. You don't understand. And 23 days, completely healed. And I know who told me that night. I know who spoke to me that night. He didn't scream in my ear from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. I know who spoke to me. And there's been many times since then that he spoke to me on that level, and many times before then, and you can't explain it. I don't have to explain it to people that already know, but the Holy Spirit's so real. I know heaven's real, and I know God is so real. He's been so real in my life. I can't thank him enough. And he sent somebody to visit me, and the fear of God came over me, like when I was a Catholic. Ed, have you surrendered? I'm like, yeah, I've been saved. Yeah, I've been saved since like 2002. Ed, have you surrendered? I said, yeah, I'm saved. Bruce. And I don't know if he's here, but fear of God came over me that day at the visiting room. Ed, you say, have you surrendered? I said, yeah, I'm saved since about 2002. And then I thought about it. I said, you know what? I'm surrendering, because if I don't, I don't think he's going to. Maybe he'll give me another chance. I'm sure he will, but I don't want it. Have I surrendered? Yes. You know, I said, if he wants me to go stand out in 495 with a sign that says Jesus saved, that's what he wants me to do. Let's go. Don't care. I got out of prison after doing 7 years in 2014, and somebody wanted to help out and go in and teach kids, maybe do Bible studies in jail. I'm like, oh, no. I just got done. I'm not going near that. I just got done with that. I don't want to do that. And then it turned out 3 weeks later, I said, I'll do it. But I hadn't had my license back at the time, so it didn't work out. I said, whew, thanks. You know I was going to go, but I didn't have to. Now, like I said, if he wants me to stand out on 495 or out here with a sign, you know, says Jesus saves, I don't care. To me, it's about surrendering now in my life, because if I don't, I'm not going to have one. And I don't want to be spiritually dead ever again. Thank you.
Pray for Eddie. It's got to start over, basically, right? In a lot of ways. And pray for a group of us who are going to come around him and help him transition back to the community. Alexis.
Good morning. Exactly. That's like buen dia, actually. I'm Alexis. I got saved pretty young. Not that young. I was 12. But the interesting part is I'm Puerto Rican. I was born in New York. My parents kept me there. They were there for 3 years. Family started moving back to Puerto Rico. And when they moved back to Puerto Rico, they was in a school that taught English. But there was this home, there was a missionary school doing English. So they stuck me in there. No matter what, they didn't care what they were teaching me. Then my neighbors went to that school too. So around 12, I came to accept the Lord. And the change that it, not that I only accept the Lord, I guess, I don't remember much of this, but I guess I was nagging my parents, why aren't we praying? Why don't we do this? Why don't we go to church? Why don't we go this? And the change in them, and the Lord used that to bring them. Just so that I could keep my English in Puerto Rico, he drew them to the Lord. And not just my parents. My dad was a black sheep of the family. So when he accepted the Lord, my family, especially my grandmother, was like, whatever he has, I want that God. And she came to the Lord too. And actually, a lot of people. And I got to see a lot of that, and I grew a lot of that. But then once I became an adult and I got a job and I came out here to work, it's interesting, too. I came to Crossroads, but and that was the support. And I came with a fire to, like, I got to witness. That's what God brought me here. I got to go witness, but I didn't have the support. But in going out to those circles to witness alone, all these people I saw, I'm like, man, they're living the life they want to live. They're doing fine. They're prospering. They're doing whatever they want to do, and nothing's happening. And I'm following this book and this thing that I learned. But coming here, I got to see the freedom and experience the freedom. And I went to with a class with Bob Fulton, which was funny because he said he had been saved like 7 or 8 times by that time. And I could understand because I would mess up, and I didn't really understand grace and God's grace and his love for us. And taking a class with Jim to understand his love and what his word says to us and how his word frees us. And I guess looking at the paper and say, what is the biggest change? Like, now I don't go to God asking him to, what can you do for me? Just thinking about who he is, reflecting on the word, and how much he loves us, and that it's not just words on a paper, that it's written in our heart and what Christ has done. And also, at that time when I was coming here, and here and now, there was a lot of people who lived this, and I could see them in the freedom, although and I could see what was happening in the world. And he spoke clearly to me, and thankfully, he's brought many of my family members back to the Lord, and the ways he's blessed me. And living here. I'm rich in the U.S., but the wealth that he's given me, that my children are being taught and brought up in the Lord, not just by us, but by you guys, and by my my in-laws, and that I always reflect on that. I think I'm the wealthiest man in the world. Just because God has loved me. So if you get that opportunity, how has he changed me now? And I hear what you're saying, Eddie. And the surrendering is every day. It's not, because even though I've been walking with the Lord for a while, I still have to surrender every day to him because the self is still here.
Your whole 3 to 4 minutes is gone. All right, you got an hour? So I was born in Alabama. Only kidding. All started when I was a sharecropper. There's a movie in there somewhere. So unlike Alexis, I was one of those children that wasn't saying to my parents, let's go to church, let's go to church. I was one of those, Brian, that's my brother, if we can stay in bed to 9:32, it'll be too late to go to church. Mom will sleep through. We'll never have to go. Because we were always forced to go to church. And man, being forced to go to church is not all that fun. I'm watching you too. So my mom always said, you know, Jesus is a savior, and that was about it. So I always thought this Jesus guy is pretty cool. So all throughout life, I'm going along, and I'm just loving the S-I-N, and going to college, doing things. But I always thought, yeah, this Jesus guy, I got to figure him out someday. And I was one of those people that would just say, yeah, yeah, someday in the future, but right now I'm having way too much fun. And so then, about 2003, after getting married, I said, I've always wanted to go to church where I could walk to the church. So I started looking around my neighborhood, and there's this white schoolhouse-type church. You guys ever seen this on Mill Street, you know, the corner of Speen and Mill and Natick? Oh, by the way, my name's Bradley. I've been here since 2007. And so I walk into this church, and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's 0.5 miles. I can walk to it. This is great. I walk in, and as soon as you open up the door, it's as if you walk in, that door is the first door you walk into. You're immediately in the sanctuary. So I walk in, and it's... Everyone turns around and goes... I'm like, I can't leave. So I'm like, I just gotta sit over here. And anyway, the fire and brimstone Baptist preacher, fire and brimstone, you know, Bible just boom, 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 thumpy, 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 thumpy. But it spoke to me. It was still the truth. And so, you know, I gave my life to Christ. And I blew it because I came home to my wife weeks later and I brought the pastor and he hit her over the head with a Bible. And she's had a wall up in front of her ever since. Maybe if I came here, it would have been better. But I had to leave there because of these two here were getting nothing out of it. They're going in the back room to color. What did your father? Your father. Not your father. He lived in Puerto Rico. Went to your father. And I said, Jim. I knew Jim. I go, when do you go to church? As soon as I walked in that door, home. I was home. Thank you, Crossroads. So, here I am. Pray for my wife and pray for me to be the husband who loves her like Christ loves the church.
I'll get my own tissue.
Is there anybody else that would like to share?
My name is Nisa, and I guess you can call it. I don't believe in lucky, but I'm lucky that I have Christian. I grew up in a Christian home, and we always go to church every Sunday, and my mother is strict about that, and she actually had a tradition also that every time we have new things, shoes, clothes, we have to wear it first to church. And I still do it today, but I don't have new all the time anyway. I seldom buy clothes and shoes. Anyway, but I tried to instill it to my kids, but that didn't work anyway. And I want to share, ultimately, it's my decision to follow Christ, not because my parents are Christians, but it's my decision to accept him as Lord and Savior. So I have I have some verses that I want to share. I need my glasses. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which now I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's easy to read, but it's actually hard to, if you're true to yourself, it's hard to do it every day. And so I have to always remind me of this verse. And just like in Psalm It says, your word is the light to my path and a lamp to my feet. So it's a everyday, moment by moment, walking with him. And I have another verse. It's actually right there. Be still and know that I am God. And if I have some problems and something that I don't know, you know, like don't know, like I need decisions, that's my verse. Be still and know that I am God. And also in Joshua, it says, the book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Before I thought this is about money, but it's just everything, prosperous and in everything you do. Your family, just maybe being happy with the Lord is success enough for me. And I have one here. It says in James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Well, when I look at this verse, it's really good. Every good gift and every perfect gift. But I asked my husband, what is good gift and every perfect gift? Is it just like a gift that God gives you? Everything? This can also be Jesus Christ. Good gift, every good gift, and every perfect gift is from above. Jesus is a gift from God. Can also be true with the God that gives to us. And it's actually really helped me. When I was in the Philippines, waiting for my husband to come to marry me, I actually look at this verse, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. I said, Lord, if this is your will, or when I come, and when we got married, when we come here, Lord, your gift is perfect and comes down from above with this no variableness and no shadow of turning. You know, like I don't have to be afraid to be here far from the Philippines. So I think there's also in Proverbs where Proverbs 3:5-6. Yeah. And so you have to, you know, that's, the Bible is my, really keeps me from discouragement. And I have tested him. I guess if we know we tested and we know that it works, something, anything, we know that it's always work. So I know I've tested God and he's proven himself to me.
I'd like to share one more verse with you, and that's Revelation 12:11. And this says that they triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. This is a part of Revelation where the forces of God and the forces of evil are going at one another. And it says that the believers are going to triumph over the evil one because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. Do you know what that word is for the word triumph? I know some of you have been studying the book of Revelation. It's the Greek word Nike. It means to overcome. It means to carry off to victory. Friends, if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus, we would not be able to Nike. We would not be able to overcome the enemy. And we would have nothing to share with people who are outside the faith. It is Jesus' blood that gives us the life-changing power and the impetus to speak up for Christ. If our unbelieving friends and family are to Nike or overcome the evil one, they will need the blood of Jesus to cover their sins and to give them hope. How will they hear if we do not tell them? We will overcome the enemy and we will bring people to Jesus by the word of our testimony. Our testimony that Jesus has saved us from sin, that he has saved us from the wrath of God. Do you realize that the wrath of God had to destroy your sin? Your sin could not live. And Jesus took that sin. God destroyed your sin without destroying you. And he did that in and through Jesus. Jesus dealt with our sin so that we wouldn't have to. He has Nike. He has overcome so that we could Nike, so that we could overcome. We're going to take a moment now and pray. I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for these wonderful stories, these wonderful deeds that you have done among your people. And Lord, we want these deeds to be shared not just among your people, but among the peoples of the earth, of every tribe and every nation. And so, Lord, we pray that you would use us to tell our story to someone who may tell their story to someone, who may tell their story to someone. And Lord, we anticipate the day when we will gather all in heaven together and we will praise with one voice, with one language, from every tribe and every nation, we will worship our God together, the one who gave us his blood, and we will share our testimonies. Lord, help us not to wait until that day, but to share our stories now. I pray, Lord, that you would give us boldness, the same boldness that you gave the early disciples who shared their faith, even though it was hard, even though they knew they may lose their lives, and many of them did. Lord, help us to be bold. Help us to share our faith, and help us to encourage one another as we see the day of Christ approaching. Amen.